weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Kenya was the top performing African team at the recent Tokyo Olympics in Japan. The Kenyans won 10 medals. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Nairobi, where he reached Kenya Broadcasting Corporation senior sports anchor Daniel Wahome.
Well, I'll tell you this. Four gold medals, four silver medals, and bronze medals, 10 medals. That is a delivery that Africa does not have. I mean, on that point, it's simple. And the special one is the 800 meters for men. Now, here's a piece of history. Of all the Olympic gold medalists in Kenya that we've had, No Olympic gold medalist has produced another Olympic gold medalist. So the first one to do so is Paul Ireng, who won the gold medal in the 800 meters in Seoul 1988 and is delivered Emmanuel Korir as a gold medalist. Here's an interesting thing. Emmanuel Korir is a 400-meter runner who's been converted into an 800-meter runner. It's a history in Kenya. We really haven't had that. Emmanuel Korir is the third fastest 800-meter runner in Kenyan history. The fastest is the late Samson Kitur, 44.18, the national record. And then we've got Charles Kitonga, who won the Commonwealth gold medal in 1994. In Kenyan history, I mean, he's basically forgotten, but he's run 44.2. Emmanuel Korir has got 44.21, and when he clocked 44.21 at Kasarani, that's the second fastest time since Innocent Egbunike did 44.17 at the African Games in 1987. So, and for Emmanuel Korir, because I was at that point and I was doing the commentary for KBC Live, he looked back over his shoulder and slowed down. He would have done something like 44.10 or probably even 44 flat or sub 44, because he is just that. And he simply said, listen, I ain't that guy who's got the endurance. I'm a sprinter. So if it's a slow race, it worked for him. And that's how he won the gold. But overall, the medals have come. And as far as Africa is concerned, Kenya should be proud. I mean, they're top of the table. And I won't go into the banter, but looking at the medals that Kenya has collected for Africa, then it works very well on this. So Kenya is there, and there are some gaps, and I'll be mentioning it a little bit later.
Can you compare Kenya's medal haul at the Rio Games and the Tokyo Games? Did anything go wrong in Japan?
A lot of things did go wrong, and not in Japan, but they went wrong in Kenya. The fact that Kenya decided to double Hellen Obiri in the 5,000 and the 10,000 didn't work. I've spoken to a few coaches, and this is what they've told me. If you're going to double in the 5,000 and 10,000, either you're a Sifan Hassan or an Almaz Ayana. Now, those are exceptional athletes. But for the case of Hellen Obiri, she's a 5K specialist. Kenya doesn't have 10K specialists. And this is where Ethiopia works. Ethiopia still have got these events which they run at Hengelo. They've got a long association because for a long time, only one management team was there, and it was from Holland. And so they do their 10Ks, and that is there. The only other place that Kenya has got 10K running are the runners who are based in Japan, but most of them who are there, they do that, and by the time they get invitations to Kenya, it becomes a little bit of a problem. But overall, for Hellen Obiri to move up and finish fourth, but this is how it would have worked. If the 10K was before the 5K, then it would have worked. Let's look at the case of Rio 2016. Almaz Ayana broke the world record of the 10,000 meters, then did the 5,000 meters, and her tactics were studied. So, in the 5,000 meters, then it delays the whole thing of studying the tactics as to how runner runs, because by the time you get to them in the 10,000, they're probably better at it. So that was a case of Almaz Ayana, and that's how Vivian Cheruiyot, her management team, did analyze, not Team Kenya, her management team. Vivian Cheruiyot and Usain Bolt were in the same management team in 2016. They still are if Usain Bolt was active. That's something, because if you go look for the videos in the run-up to the 5,000 meters final and Usain Bolt was running, Vivian Cheruiyot went and gave a hug to Usain Bolt. It's only afterwards that I realized, hey, Usain Bolt asked Vivian, something happened here and there, and that's how it worked. So in that case, did things go wrong? Yes, team selection. Number two, the introduction of Timothy Cheruiyot late on, he simply said, look, I've just come up from Monaco, I've done this, and he wasn't in the team. He finished fourth at the trials. He couldn't qualify. It was 1-2 past the line, but the 1-2 past the line in Kenya is basically just forget about it. It's 1-2-3 past the line. They say that it's used in the US. It's very punitive. That's how, for example, like Donovan Brazier missed out on the 800 meters, but that's the way it works in Kenya. He finished fourth. He was called in because Kamar Etiang couldn't meet the AIU World Athletics rules on category A countries like Belarus and Kenya. So Timothy Cheruiyot comes in, but yeah, so it was a little bit late for him. So the whole thing about Kenya and the medals is from this side. And for the steeplechase, Beatrice Chepkoech has been handling a very major injury. And for the men's side, the warning signs have been there. Go back to the days of Evan Jaeger. Think of Mehidin Mekisi Benabad. Comes, I think of 2017 when the Americans took a 1-2-3 in the women's steeplechase. Warning signs there. If you can't read the warning signs, then please become a passenger in your car. Don't become the driver. Kenya opted to be the driver, but did not start reading the warning signs in the traffic. And that's how it went down. Overall, Kenya's performance is satisfactory given the current circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Daniel. That's Daniel Wahome, senior sports anchor at Kenya Broadcasting Corporation. And Daniel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to Zomba in the southern region of Malawi, where Lamek Messina reports a visually impaired runner is training for the Paralympics, which open August 24th in Tokyo.
The only Banda's passion for running suffered a setback in 2011 when she was banned from competing in school athletics because of her visual impairment.
The school where I was studying refused to let me take part in sports. It took the interest of some well-wishers who backed me that allowed me to start running.
Thanks to a 2012 sporting event organized by Malawi's Paralympic Association, Banda's running skills were spotted when she won both 400 and 800-meter races. Banda went on to win medals in several local events and in 2016 became the country's first athlete to represent Malawi at the Paralympic Games in Brazil. But she was disqualified because she left her lane, a mistake she says will not repeat at the Paralympics in Tokyo.
I have learned it is not good to run on the edge of the lane, as you are likely to be off track. This time around, Malawians should expect me to bring a gold medal from Japan.
But the conditions in which she trains are not the best, say some observers, a criticism dismissed by Banda's coach.
We cannot ask more just because this is what we have. So we are just training here. Only that the tactics that we use here, they are the very same tactics that the athlete can use during the competition. So it doesn't matter much to us.
Like Banda, children with disabilities in Malawi often suffer from stigma and discrimination. Although Malawi enacted a Disability Act in 2012 to provide equal opportunities for people with disabilities, activists say the law is not being implemented in some areas.
This has to happen at all levels, not just in the government offices, but also even in rural areas where most of the persons with disabilities are living.
Banda is supporting a campaign to ensure children with disabilities, especially girls, aren't left behind.
Tauner has inspired me a lot. She has set a good example that disability is not inability. Her success in the games confirms that.
For now, Banda continues to prepare for the Tokyo Games as she hopes to fulfill her dream of bringing a gold medal home. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Zomba, Malawi.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
It's being described as Liberia's proudest Olympic moment. the fifth place finish by sprinter Joseph Fambula in the men's 200 meters final in Tokyo. Joseph clocked the Liberian national record 19.98 seconds. Joseph's father, Edwin, invited scores of Liberians to a race TV watch party in Monrovia. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, we're joined once again by Moses Garzio.
When the 45-inch television blinked the lineup, the scream from the audience became louder when Joseph Famula was graphic with the Liberian flag at his back.
Come on, Joe!
With high hopes, track and field followers were aware of the tax the 19-year-old was up against.
Yes, here's a little record holder.
In the lineup were the Canadian Andre DeGrasse and the American and record holder Noah Lyles. Nerves were running high, and you could see it in the eyes of those in the audience. But there were huge courage of a medal coming home for the first time from the Olympics for Liberia. They kept pushing and cheering for a miracle. But it was a dream that needed another try after 4 years. The Canadian Andre DeGrasse took gold with a running time of 19.62 seconds, followed by Americans Kenneth Benrag and Noah Lyles with 19.68 seconds and 19.74 seconds with silver and bronze. Liberian boy Famula finished fifth with a time of 19.98 seconds. At the close of the race, an emotional father, Edwin, had this to say.
He's still a champion to me.
I see it in tears. Why?
It is tears of joy to see a son on the world stage and doing what he's doing. And where he came from is touching. Once again, I would like to say thank you to his mother for bringing him up, raising him when I wasn't there.
Also watching was former Liberian sprinter and Olympian Hassan Kehu. He ran for Liberia at the 1996 Atlanta Games.
For me, I was not expecting a medal. He has met all my expectations. I think he's a winner. Because the fact that you measure arm with DeGrasse, DeGrasse is the fastest man this year. Noah Lyles was the defending champion. To ruffle shoulders with him, you came fifth place, and you still ran 19.98 seconds. I think it's a win for Liberia, and we need to celebrate him and the rest of the field.
Fred Bass-Golake and Roland Carey were more than delighted and thinks the 19-year-old Famula met the expectations of Liberians.
Look at the race and the mechanics of the race. We believe that this young man is the track star we've been expecting. He didn't even run his personal best today. We expect greatness from this young man.
I think that we wanted a medal for our own selfish reasons. The chips fell where they may. He did his best, and we got to be proud of it. If you look at it, he was the only one from an African nation in the final. It's a bright future for him, 19-year-old.
For Zubin Cooper, there are medals lined up that the young family will bring to Liberia in future competitions.
He will bring an Olympic medal to Liberia, and he'll bring many more medals to Liberia. He's 19. This is his first year of college. This is his first international race. I have faith, confidence that this is just the beginning.
Famula qualified for the Tokyo Olympics after meeting the qualifying time in the 200 meters in his first outdoor meet of the season. He later went on to win the NCAA national title in June with a personal best of 19.91 seconds, a career best performance and 10th fastest in his college history. Famula was, however, qualified to compete for a place on the U.S. Olympic team, but rather opted for Liberia, the land of his parents. The decision, according to his father, Edwin, was a sacrifice that grabs more respect.
To leave or to turn down running for the United States and to come and run for his mother and father's birthplace, right there he won more respect from me. I know what it is to sacrifice what you have to return back to Liberia and work to make your country better.
The feat at the Olympic for Famula has been a historic moment for the 2021 NCAA outdoor national champion. Famula was among three athletes who represented Liberia at this year's Olympics. Emmanuel Matadi and Ebony Morrison were the other two all-in-track events. For the VOA Sunny Silas Post, this is Moses Gazel in Monrovia, Liberia. And it's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Moses. Now let's go to Rwanda, which has inaugurated its first 18-hole golf course. Joining us now from the capital, Kigali, is Eugene Uwimana. Sporty greetings, Eugene.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The first phase of construction of this international golf course took 15 months. It sits on 52 hectares here in Kigali. The facility also has 23 bridges, 9 lakes, 3 rain shelters, a hallway house, and an underground tunnel. For golfers in Rwanda, the course is a dream come true.
This is going to be a training ground because we are having the youth academy, the academy itself, for training young golfers, for training even other people who want to know golf. So it's a, we have a training ground. We have professionals who are going to train here. So we're going to attract many Rwandan and non-Rwandan golfers and those who intend to play golf. We benefit from this.
He says they are very happy to have this course. It can help you level up to professional standard because the course itself is international. According to Rwanda Social Security Board, the first phase of building the course plus the next one will bring the total investment to around 145 billion Rwandan francs or approximately $145 million. Regis Rugemashiro is the Director General.
Now, Rwanda is a country that is really doing to position ourselves as a destination of choice for conferences, for tourism activities, and for sports. We've seen amazing organization of what happened with BAL. Golf is a complementary piece to everything else that the country has been doing.
The Rwandan government says that its interest was partly driven by the growing golf tourism market. The global market is estimated at $44 billion and grows by 11% annually. However, Africa has only 2% of courses in the world. South Africa has the majority of African courses. A big number of others on the continent are not at the international level. Rwanda registers about 200 golfers. The number is expected to grow with this 18-hole golf course. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
On the next Straight Talk Africa. As countries worldwide work to get shots in arms, many are running into a problem of trust and vaccine hesitancy. Is fake news behind it? And is misinformation on social media hurting vaccination drives across Africa? Join me, Hayley Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, two star players who competed at the recent Tokyo Olympics, Kevin Durant of Team USA and the Brooklyn Nets, and Luka Doncic of Team Slovenia and the Dallas Mavericks, have signed big, and I do mean big, contract extensions. The Mavericks are holding a virtual news conference today, Tuesday, and the Doncic deal is reportedly a 5-year extension worth $207 million. And Kevin Durant returned from Tokyo with his third Olympic gold medal and a 4-year, $198 million contract extension with the Brooklyn Nets. On Saturday in Tokyo, Kevin Durant scored a game-high 29 points to help lead Team USA to an 87-82 victory over France in the gold medal game at the Olympics.
We went through a lot of adversity, and we came together pretty fast. We built a bond with each other that's going to last a lifetime, in my opinion. This group was special, and I'm grateful to be a part of it, grateful we could bring the gold back home.
As I mentioned, this was Kevin Durant's third Olympic gold medal. He also won gold with Team USA at the 2016 Rio Olympics and the 2012 London Games. Overall, it was the 16th gold medal for Team USA in Olympic men's basketball. Durant talks about the road to another gold.
When you go through that journey, man, it's just it's just incredible to be a part of something so special. And I'm bonded with these guys for life. It's family for life. And I'm just grateful that we all committed to this early and we stuck with it and finished it off.
Finishing it off with another gold medal. That's three-time Olympic basketball champion Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
American track star Allyson Felix won a gold medal and a bronze medal at the Tokyo Olympics, bringing her Olympic medal tally up to 11. That makes Felix the most decorated U.S. track and field athlete in history. Allyson Felix won her gold medal in Tokyo as a member of the U.S. women's 4x400 meters relay team. The AP's John Letherby filed this post-race report.
Felix captured her 11th and final medal of her Olympic career, a gold, as the American women ran to the top of the podium in the 4x400 meter relay in a time of 3 minutes, 16.85 seconds.
I know those people in my life who came before me and how they inspired me. And I'm also thinking about the young girls and boys who are inspired by these women, by their dominant performances.
After a disappointing games on the track, the men's 4x400 meter team finally struck gold. They cruised down the home stretch, crossing the finish line in 2 minutes, 55.70 seconds. The U.S. women's water polo team capturing its third straight gold medal. They defeated Spain by a final of 14-5. Team USA couldn't get the timely hits and run production, but the Japanese could, as the host country won gold for the first time in baseball, shutting out the U.S. 2-0. I'm John Letherby.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
An Olympic update now on Helen Maroulis. Helen won her gold medal for Team USA at the 2016 Rio Games in Brazil, where she wrestled in the 53-kilogram division. For the Tokyo Olympics, Helen moved up in weight to the 57-kilogram category and won the bronze medal. Japan's Risako Kawai, who edged Maroulis 2-1 in the semifinals, won the gold medal. And Irina Kurechkina of Belarus won the silver medal. In the 68-kilogram division, American wrestler Tamira Mensah-Stock made history in winning the gold medal. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with an Olympic profile. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Tamira Mensah-Stock is the first Black American woman to win wrestling gold at an Olympic Games, and she had to overcome a tough draw to make history. She defeated Rio 2016 champion Sara Dasho of Japan, overpowered Zhou Feng of China, an opponent Mensah-Stock lost to twice before, 2024 and claim victory over Ukrainian 2018 world champion Alla Cherkasova. Her final match was against Nigerian veteran Blessing Oborodudu. Mensa Stock defeated the 10 times African champion 4-1. Following her performance, the American gold medalist described how she was able to overcome her seasoned opponents.
What I love to say is to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And so going against an Olympic gold medalist, my first round, boy, that was a lucky draw. And then the second person I wrestled, you guys might not know this, but I actually lost to Zhao twice. I had never beaten her. And so that was extremely satisfying to finally get that. My third match against Ukraine, she scored on me. Like, it was hellishly tough. And the fact that I was able to dominate, it just shows me, like, yeah, everybody, do you guys see this? Like, I'm doing this. I'm being me, too. Like, I'm not sacrificing who I am. And I'm still able to just go out there and, like, conquer. So it's great.
Mensa Stock was born in the U.S. state of Illinois to an African-American mother and a Ghanaian father. After moving to Texas, she took up wrestling at the urging of her twin sister, but almost quit the sport after her father was killed in a car accident on his way home from one of her high school matches. She says her father was her biggest supporter, so she continued to wrestle, eventually becoming the Women's Collegiate Nationals champion in 2014 and 2017. She traveled to the 2016 Rio Games as a training partner for her teammates, and she is now a gold medalist in her debut as an Olympian. And the 28-year-old says she's ready for her next role in life, inspiring a new generation of athletes.
Now that I'm on the stage and I am a Black woman on the Olympic stage and I have a gold medal, there are younger people, like take Kennedy Blades, for example. Like, she can see herself on the stage and go, she did this. Why can't I do it? Like, she looks just like me. This is possible. And I want to be an inspiration to as many people as I can. And so, man, the younger generation, they're going to be so freaking fire. I'm so ecstatic for them. Like, that's all, that's mostly what I want in this world, is just to inspire as many people as I can through love, because I love giving hugs since I was a baby. So, yeah, it means a lot.
And Mensa Stock is enjoying the ride in the midst of an otherwise stressful competitive environment. A personal karaoke machine helped the newly crowned champion stay calm and have some fun.
So the karaoke machine is not a secret. However, having fun, I think, is, because people think that when you're going for a gold medal, an Olympic gold medal, you have to be gung-ho, focused, like just omit everybody from your life. And like, you know, like the saying, it's lonely at the top. No, it's not. That was like one thing like I did not want. I wanted to be at the top, be married, not have kids, because that's just hella, that's too much. But I wanted to have fun doing it, because in the end, the journey is the most important thing for me. And like, once I get to the destination, well, what's after it? Like, did I enjoy my journey? I most certainly did.
And Mensa Stock is now helping to make her mother's dream come true. She plans to use her gold medal winnings to help her mom become the proud owner of a food truck that she will name the Ladybug. Mensa Stock is only the second American woman to win Olympic gold in wrestling. The first was Helen Maroulis in 2016. I also want to mention that Mensa Stock's final opponent, Nigeria's Blessing Oborodudu, won silver, one of two medals for Nigeria at the Tokyo Games. She joins S.A. Brume, who won bronze in the women's long jump event. Nigeria finished eighth best among the 54 African nations at this year's Olympic Games. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sporting greetings. This is Ese Brume, 3 times African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ese, and congratulations on your Olympic bronze medal in Tokyo. And
that wraps up the August 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.